Okay, so Margaret was talking about everybody being made for a different purpose, and so that's because that's what I told her I was preaching on, so that's a good thing. Okay, and this actually, you should go to Cell Group because I got my inspiration from Cell Group for this sermon. So it was actually from the Word for Today that David had said to Margaret, you better read this, and they read it, and I just went, oh, man, that's so good. So I thought I'll share that, and then I'll talk a bit about it. So it was from January the 8th and 9th about understanding each other's giftings. So in ministry, like any other field, we need to understand the individual process that comes with each person's gifting. Karen Williams, President of Strategic Media Solution, writes, a ministry is composed of several gifted individuals led by a common vision God has birthed in its leader. These individuals can be grouped into three categories: visionary, process-oriented, task-oriented. There's an emotional response for each person in their area of giftedness as it relates to the birth and successful completion of a vision. The visionary gets an emotional high when the vision becomes clear to them. When they present it to those who'll be charged with the making it happen, they think those in attendance will be as high as they are upon hearing this clear world-changing vision. For a visionary, when the vision is fully clear, it's effectively 100% complete. That's why they can go on to create and receive other visions long before the first one is truly manifested. But for the process-orientated vision, the vision that has been presented is on hold until it can be translated into processes. The emotional high for them comes when the processes are clearly defined and documented, and they feel they'll successfully support the completion of the vision. So their high doesn't come until well after the vision has been presented. For the task-orientated person, the vision that's been presented is also on hold as they haven't yet been given anything to do. Their emotional high comes with the completion of tasks, things that they can mark off their to-do list. Thus, their high doesn't come until the end of the completed task mapped out within the process. Everybody think about who they are. So, yeah, so it goes on the next day. It said, sorry? Yeah, I think I was, yeah. I think I don't think you necessarily have to be one or the other, but yeah. Karen Whelan continues, to function successfully as a team, each person needs to be trained in understanding how the others function. That's the only way they'll be able to communicate, as they all speak completely different languages. The visionary has to become the cheerleader, holding out the vision before the people over the entire lifetime of the implementation stage so they can remember why they're doing what they do. They have to understand that the process person and the task person have different measures for their own success, and they must acknowledge the process and milestones with praise and celebration. The process person has to be able to encourage the visionary that through their processes, their vision will be accomplished. And they also have to encourage the task person that each and every task is imperative to the success of the completed vision, and that performing tasks according to the defined processes is critical for success. Likewise, the process person and the task person must realise that the visionary needs encouragement via responses that demonstrate their support for the vision. The visionary can't lead without this understanding. The process person can't serve or lead without this understanding. The task person can't serve without this understanding. There are different measurables for each person, allowing them to consider themselves a success in his or her particular role. And of course, the key is placing the right gift in the right role, communicating its value to the entire team and constantly supporting it privately and publicly. That's why Paul wrote to his team, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. And I've been mulling over all that ever since, and that must be, I don't know, about 3 or 4 weeks, and it's just been going over and over and over in my head. First really about school, and Kathy and I went to Tamworth a few days after that, and we had a very good conversation about how that fits in at school and what sort of things happen. And I know Dinos is a process person and I'm probably task person, so we work well together, and that's a good thing. But it's getting everybody to see what they're doing and that sort of thing. And then we were in church not long after too on a Sunday morning. For some reason I was just pondering about the fires and why there'd been so much negativity into how the fires had been dealt with. And it just really struck me that probably as a nation we don't have a vision for the nation, And so if you don't have that vision, it's very hard to get behind those process people, the task people, to get behind the process people, because the process people haven't got a vision to process for. And I think one of the reasons that we probably don't have a vision is that the church hasn't provided that direction. And really, that's the church's job, to provide that direction, because we want to be following God's direction and not just anybody's. Because otherwise, if there's not that vision put out there by the churches for people to catch, they're going to catch it from somebody else. They're going to catch it from people, you know, the media or the politicians who are really just trying to get elected and are only thinking, you know, as far as the next election and not long term. And yet, you know, in Psalm 127 verses 1 and 2, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who love. So we can be doing all those things, you know, we can be fighting the fires and doing all those things, but if God hasn't got it in his hand, then we're doing all that for no purpose and for no reason, and it's not going to achieve what we want it to achieve. And that's where the church has to rise up and go, well, this is the vision. This is what God wants. Thank you. Thank you. You know, so we have to do that. So you can be doing all these things, but unless we've got that godly vision, and that visionary person who's part of the team has got a godly vision, really, we're going to be labouring in vain. And I started to think too, where do we see it in the Bible, these outworking of these things in the Bible? I mean, that's all very well, whoever's written this has said all that, but if it's not in the Bible, again, you're just following, you know, what's a good idea. So we're going to read Acts 7, 1 to 7. So, oh, sorry, it's not Acts 7, it's Acts 6. Sorry, Acts 6. That's what it says up there too. Okay. All right. So in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Pharmus, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So the apostles had been with Jesus from the beginning. So, and that was really important, and before Pentecost even happened, they decided they had to fill the position that Judas had left by somebody who had been with Jesus from the beginning, because they needed somebody, all of them needed to go about spreading the vision that Jesus had given them. They were the visionaries. They were the ones who were spreading the good news, who were telling people about Jesus. And there had to be people to tell that vision. That's why they replaced Judas. Because they had to have those. It wasn't enough for people just to do. They had to have people to tell the vision and to tell what Jesus had told them. And the apostles knew that they couldn't neglect that to wait on the tables. Not that waiting on the tables wasn't important, but that wasn't their job. That wasn't their call. And they knew, you know, the word of God was being spread because it was being preached by the apostles and practiced by others. So the waiting on the tables was important because that was part of the vision that Jesus had passed on to them, to love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus loved us enough to die for us, and the apostles' job was to tell everybody that, but speaking it wasn't enough. It had to be seen in action, but that wasn't the visionaries' job. The apostles were the visionaries, okay? And the fact that then what they were presenting, what vision they were putting out there was being seen, action was helping the church to grow. You know, people could see how the widows were looked after, how the women were treated, and they were attracted to that. And that's what it says in that, in those verses, that my pages stop thing, that the word of God spread and the number of disciples increased rapidly because the two were working in tandem. You know, there had to be people appointed to the task of waiting on tables, of feeding the widows, because it's pretty hard to feel God's love if you're hungry. You know, you're being told the vision that God says to love one another and all this, and that you're sitting there hungry. But what I found interesting as I was reading this too is that it wasn't the apostles that chose their seven people. Okay? They left that to, what does it say? We will turn this responsibility, no, it's before that. Brothers, choose seven men from among you. So it wasn't the visionaries who were deciding who was going to do the jobs. They were going to leave that to the process people who knew what gifts had to, people had to have to do that. So you've got the visionaries, the apostles, who are charging those process people with choosing the task-oriented people to do the job. Okay? And no, none of those jobs was more important than the other. Those people who were going to distribute the food had to be full of spirit and wisdom. Okay? And they needed to do their job so that other people could do theirs, so that that vision that Jesus had imparted to the apostles was there, could be seen. And it was very interesting, because I did this one myself, because when I was searching for visuals about vision and all that sort of stuff, it was all about bringing your vision to life. And I actually don't think that that's the important thing. It's not about my vision. It's about God's vision, which is for all of us to bring his vision to life. The apostles weren't preaching their vision, but the vision that they had spent 3 years with Jesus learning. And that's why Jesus had chosen those 12, I think, to be able to keep telling the vision. He needed people to tell the vision, not just to do what needed to be done, but to speak that vision out. So the seven that were chosen were not working for their vision. It wasn't, you know, they probably didn't really care who got fed, I guess, in some ways. That's probably putting it not quite the right way. But they were working towards that vision that the apostles had. It was a group vision. You know, in Proverbs, when we talk about that verse, it says, without a vision, the people perish. Not the individual, but the people. And that's why, too, I think in Australia we have trouble with that whole thing, because it's not a national vision. It's very much, we're very much individuals, and we're not called to be that. We're called to be a people together. You know, in here, in this church, our vision should be to see this church become to 1,000. And we should be working with our giftings to bring that about. Not about whatever my vision is or, you know, whatever, but that vision. Because it is, without a vision, the people perish. And if we don't have a vision as a group, then it's not going to, you know, we can love each other all we want and all that sort of thing. But if there's not a vision at the end of it, then we're not, then we're labouring in vain, basically. And in that too, there needs to be an appreciation of the role that each person plays. You know, the apostles just didn't tell everyone what to do and leave it at that and go away. When they'd found those people to do those tasks, they brought them to the apostles, and the apostles laid hands on them and prayed for them. You know, so the visionaries there are showing by their actions that they valued what those task-oriented people were doing, and then trusted them to do it. They weren't standing over them going, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, you should be doing this. They recognised the giftings in those people and let them do their job. And the work that those people were doing was obviously upsetting to those people who spread the Christianity, because the next part of the story is where Stephen's being stoned, you know. So serving at tables is not unimportant in the spread of the gospel, you know. And so it's about recognising what call does God have on your life, and how does that work as part of a team? And appreciating what we see in each other, and we need to be dependent, you know, as Margaret said too, on what each other has to bring to the table. You know, what gifts. Those three types of people can't work in isolation. All right? The visionaries need the process people, and the process people need a vision to work for. The task people need to know the process, but they also need to know that there's a point to what they're doing. And none of it works without relationships. Somebody just doesn't parachute somewhere and go, I've got this vision, and everybody go, oh, hey, yay, I'm going to work towards that. You know, having been at the school a long time, you can see some people just drop in and go, right, we're going to do this, and expect everybody to go, oh, yay. It don't happen, because there's not that relationship there. You know, it's not somebody that's trusted and knows what goes on, because it's really important, you know, if you've got a visionary person who says, right, we're doing this, and they've got no idea about how that all comes, people just get really cranky. You know, they don't want to know about it. They want to work with people that they trust. And, you know, it's got to be in those relationships. So, you know, that being of one heart and one mind is so important. And we should be praying for that for each other every day, that's how God knits us together. Because that's the way that things are going to come together, you know. So what sorts of things do we need to do? I think we need to recognise what sort of person we are and be happy with that. You know, God uses all three of those sorts of people. And, yeah, you know, we might have giftings in one or more of those things, but one's not better than the other. And it's much better to be you working out in that gifting that God's given you rather than trying to work in a gifting that's not your gifting, okay? I know I am probably, as I said, very much, tell me what to do and I'll do it, particularly if it's for somebody that I know and trust. And as I said, that's really, you know, at school, I'm quite happy. Whatever Dino says, that's what I'll do, okay? But if he says, I want to get to here, I go, oh, my God, I don't really know how to get to there. Whereas he's very good at saying, this is what you've got to do, and then I go and do it, you know. But there's no point us trying to swap roles, because it isn't going to work, because that's not who we are, okay? We need to appreciate the other giftings, you know. And I've often, and I started thinking about this too, we often, as teachers, lament that kids don't have initiative. And I started thinking, well, maybe that's because they're task-oriented people and they need somebody to tell them what to do. You know, not everybody can see what needs to be done. And that's where that process person needs to go, okay, can you do that? You know, and that's okay. We don't all have to have all those giftings, you know. So appreciate, you know, if you've got somebody, you know, that you work with or whatever, who just walks past whatever and you think, oh, my gosh, why didn't they do something about it? Just say to them. And most people will go, oh, I didn't see it, you know, whatever. So it's not that people necessarily lack initiative, I don't think. It's that's not the way that they work. That's not their gifting, you know. And so we need to recognise the different parts that we play. You know, if we all had the vision, well, nothing would ever get done, because we'd all be, you know, oh, woohoo, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. And nobody, you know, as David, I know, sits there and go, oh, my gosh, that's that vision. And there's so much work that's going to get done. So, you know, it's no point everybody having the vision. But at the same time, if there's no vision, well, what are we doing? You know, so, and if there's no, as I said, if that process people, and I think I've often haven't really thought about that process person, really. I've thought about the vision and that there are things that have to be done. But if you haven't got that process to link those things together, then you're in trouble. So, you know, it's having all three of those. And as I said, developing those relationships so that we're working together, that we can trust each other, and that we are praying that we will be of one heart and one mind. And it needs to be, because it all needs to be God's vision, and it needs to be the things that God's telling us to do and the way that God tells us to do it too, you know, because often there's, you know, if there's a vision over here and we're over here, there's several paths to get to there. If the process person is not listening to God and saying, go this way, then we can end up in all sorts of trouble. So, yes, that's all I have to say.